All right, Shavuot, good morning. Let's begin. So we left off. Today's daf is Ches 8. We left off Zayin Amud Beis 7b. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines up from the bottom. Last one left. So also remember, yesterday we ended off, and if we have time, I don't know that we'll have time today, but we'll find time in Meir Tishan at some point in time to be able to discuss. We ended off yesterday with a very important piece of halacha lemaisa when it comes to payment for damages. So we discussed the idea of the Gemara Paskin that even though when it comes to damages, Torah says that you have to pay meitav sadeo meitav karmo, the best of your field, best of your vineyard. We understood that actually means the following. You are not limited to payment in land, meaning, again, you could pay with anything. You could pay with anything. And the assumption is that movable property always satisfies the criteria of meitav, of being the best. Why? Because lemaisa, again, you could pretty much sell it anywhere. Meaning the good thing about movable property is there's always a market somewhere. May not be here, you may have to take it somewhere else, but there's always a market. But if you're going to pay back with real estate, that's when the Torah demands that for damages, you have to pay iddis. That's when you have to pay the highest valuation, because lemaisa, we want you to be able to sell the land relatively easily, and in order to be able to do that, it has to be iddis. Fine. So it says, So Rav Shmuel bar Abba from Akronya went ahead and asked Hashem from Rabbi Abba, Kishehin Shamin, both say when they evaluate property. In other words, now that we've established that when you pay back with land, you have to pay back with iddis. So it says the Gemara Bishalohin Shamin. So ultimately, again, are they paying back? Do they evaluate it with his iddis Bishaloh? Oh, Bishal Olam Hin Shamin. Or are they evaluating it ultimately again with iddis, with you know, we'll call it Velt iddis, right? It is of general society. So, I mean, who sets? This is very similar to this conversation we had earlier between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, "Ibishal Achirim Hin Shamin." So the Gemara, I'm sorry, Alibud Rabbi Shmuel Loti Bayilochal. So, by according to Rabbi Shmuel, this is not a shaila. Why? Because Rabbi Shmuel says explicitly, "Damar b'dinizak shayminon." Because Rabbi Shmuel is the one who said that when establishing what iddis is, we look at the nizak, we look at the damaged party's holdings, and we evaluate iddis based on his choicest property. Kiti Boilocha, where does the kasha come up? Alibi de Rabbi Akiva, do amar bidemazik shaymina. So what's the shaila comes up when it comes to Rabbi Akiva, who holds bidemazik shaymina. That we go ahead and we evaluate iddis based on the mazik's holdings. So so the Gemara says, meitav sadeo amrachmana lemiutei dinizak. So we'll say when the Torah says that you have to pay back meitav sadehu, the best of your field, is that coming to exclude the damaged party's property and telling you that iddis is measured by the damager's property? Odilma lemiutei da'alma nami. Or maybe it's also coming to exclude the iddis of the general world. Good morning, Mr. Shonfa. Right? Or so who is it coming to exclude, I will say? So what is it coming to exclude? So the Gemara says, Amrlei, Rachmana Amr Meitav Sadehu, Va'at Amrit Bishal Olam, Hein Shamit, so he responded. Remember, this is Rav Shlomo Bar Abba asking the Shalva from Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Abba says that makes no sense. The Torah itself is saying Meitav Sadehu, Meitav Karmo, which we will say is what? Is a possessive statement, right? Meaning, it's so you could argue about whether it's referring to the mazik or the nizak. That's fine, but it certainly can't refer to what, right? To the world. That doesn't make sense. So it's definitely referring to one of the parties, either the damager or the damaged party, but not referring ultimately again to the general world. So the Gemara says, "Eisvei ein lo ela idis." So we'll say this is actually a fascinating case. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Ein lo ela idis. It's the last Rashi. Second to last line. In L.A., this, the Misha Hayu Alav Balchov Ksuvas Isho Nezikin. So listen to this. So here's a guy, we'll call him Reuven. Reuven has three outstanding obligations upon him. He borrowed money, bless you. He borrowed money, so he has to go ahead and pay back a debt. He also got divorced, so he has to pay a ksuva. And he damaged someone with his shard. It's been a rough day, right? Rough day for Reuven. See, he's got these three creditors. Rabbi Sanei, you understand the difference between these creditors just very quickly. So, take a look at Rashi. Let's see it in Gemara. I'm sorry. Eino ela idis. So, listen. Actually, let me tell you this outside. So, remember again. So, Nezikin collects from idis, right? So, again, if you damage someone, damages are collected from iddis property, best property. Balchov, creditors, collect from Beinonis. And again, we'll discuss all of this. I'm just giving this background. And Ksuva collects from Ziboris, right? Most inferior land. So now you have a guy who has all three different financial obligations. And what happens? Ein lo, so the Gemara says, Eisvei. Ein lo ela idis. So, Rabbi, listen to this case. So, let's say Reuven goes ahead, and Reuven at one point in time owned idis, benonis, and ziburis. And what happens? Subsequently, he sold off his benonis and ziburis. So, all he's left with is idis. All he has is idis. So, what's the halacha? Kulam govin mina idis. Everyone collects from idis. Rabbi, it makes sense because remember, when it comes to collection of debt, you always collect first from unencumbered properties, like we'll discuss. So, in this case, where he sold off all his properties and all he has left is idis, everyone collects from idis. Beinonis. Similarly, if all he had left was beinonis, kulam govin beinonis. Everyone collects from beinonis. Ziburis. If all he had was ziburis, kulam govin ziburis. Okay, so those are all obvious cases. Hayulo idis u beinonis viziburis. Let's say he has all three types of property: idis, beinonis, and ziburis. So nizikin. Also, you understand, by the way, that these classifications of idis, beinonis, and ziburis are subjective. So meaning if I have three fields of different qualities, so the best quality is called idis, the secondary quality is called benonis, the lowest quality is called ziburis. These are not like some type of external objective standards to, you know, for idis, benonis, and ziburis. These are subject. So many, this is important because my idis, benonis, and ziburis will look different than your idis, benonis, and ziburis. So listen to this. So let's say Reuven has idis, benonis, and ziburis. So nezikin be idis. So the damages are collected from idis. Balcho benonis. The loan is repaid from benonis. Uksuvas isha be ziburis. And uksuvas paid from ziburis. Idis u benonis. But say, listen to this case. Let's say he sold off his ziburis. So all he's left now is with what? Idis and benonis. So what happens? Nezikin be idis. So nezikin collect from idis. That's the halacha. Balchov ksuvas isha bebeinonis. And Balchov, Rabbi said, which normally collects from beinonis, gets from beinonis. And the only difference over here is ksuvas isha. Ksuvas isha would normally be collected from what? From what? From ziburis. But here there's no ziburis, so collect from beinonis. Fine. Beinonis is ziburis. Let's say he sold off his idis. So all he's left with is beinonis and ziburis. So nezikin and Balchov bebeinonis. So Rabbi said, so nezikin and Balchov will collect from beinonis. Uksuvas isha beziburis. Fine. Stop of chas. Idis is ziburis. Oh, now this is going to get exciting. So says the Gemara, what happens? He sold off his beinonis, so all he has now is idis and ziburis. So nezikin beidis. So we'll say, that's the easy case. Remember, so nezikin will collect with idis. Nezikin will collect with idis because that's the halacha. Ubalchov ksuvas isha biziburis. And we'll say, interestingly enough, so again, ksuvas isha collects ziburis anyway. The interesting part over here is what? Is Balchov. So Balchov normally goes in and collects with beinonis. Here, where there is no beinonis, the choice is to bump him up to idis or to bump him down to ziboris. Apparently, the halacha says we bump him down to ziboris. So now, if you look at Rashi, by the way, Rashi gives us a little bit of like a sneak preview as to why this is. So Rashi says, "Idis viziburis nezikin beidis ubalchov ksuvas isha beziburis." Meaning, why not bump up balchov to idis? To which Rashi says, "The midaraisa balchov beziburis." Because they also say, "Really, midaraisa a balchov is only entitled to collect from ziboris." Kidla kaman v'rabbanon who detakan lebeinonis mishum ni'ilas deles lovin v'heicha deles lebeinonis les letakan. This will say, so we will see that midaraisa a balchov, a creditor, really could only collect from ziboris. Aye, so why did Chazal give him the right to collect from beinonis? In order to encourage people to lend money. That's it, meaning you have to incentivize the loan. Most remember, the Jewish loan market is not a good place to invest your money, right? Because remember, already we can't charge interest, so we're already compromised. So Chazal understood, if you further compromise people at some point in time, they're just going to stop lending money. Same thing with Prizbal, right? You have to be able to incentivize the Jewish loan market. So therefore, again, we allow the Baal Chov to cut from Beinonis. But in a case where there is no Beinonis, so we go ahead and we establish the halacha according to the biblical mandate, which is only Ziburis, and that's why it comes from Ziburis. Fine. Says, now we've discussed all these cases. Katani miha mitzia. So as I says the Gemara, let me bring your attention to the middle case. Beinonis is Ziburis. If let's say he sold off his idis, so all he's left with is beinonis and ziburis. So what's the halacha? Nezikin ubalchov bebeinonis uksuvas isha biziburis. So remember, what's the halacha there? The halacha is beinonis and ziburis. Nezikin ubalchov bebeinonis. So if there's no idis, all there is beinonis and ziburis. So nezikin damages and creditors will be paid with beinonis and ksuvas isha be with ziburis. Vi amrit bishalohin shamin. That says, well, let's go back for just a moment. If you say that we evaluate idis, and really idis, beinonis, and ziburis, based on a person's own holdings, Then I'll ask you a very simple shayla. So the Gemara says, Tase benonis shalo ki edis, v'yitcha balchov etzol ziboris. Both of this is a great shayla. Listen to this. In the case where the individual, call him Ruvain, has only Benonis and Ziboris. So what did the Braisa paskin? The Braisa said that Balchov and the Zikin collect from Benonis, and Ksuva collects from where? From Ziboris. But if you say that the categorical definitions of Idis, Benonis, and Ziboris are subjective, then what? Then what? Then the truth is again that what you're calling Benonis really becomes what? Really becomes my Idis. If that's the case, then the halacha should be that Nezikin should collect from Idis and Balchov and Ksuvasisha should collect from Ziboris. So yet you're telling me that what? That Balchov and Nezikin collect from the Benonis. To which the Gemara says, and this is fascinating. Oh, listen to this case. The case of Irabosa is where what? Is where Lamaisa, at the time the loan was made, at the time Reuven borrowed money, so Reuven had Idis, Benonis, and Ziburis property. He had those three properties. Now remember, at the time a loan is made is also when what? When there's a lien against property, which means that the creditor has a lien against that Benonis parcel of land. So that even now, subsequently, when Reuven sells off his Idis, even if you want to tell me that the categories change, what doesn't change? The lien. Meaning, at the time he lent money, if I'm a creditor, and I know as a creditor I have the right to go ahead and collect from Benonis property, that means that my loan devolves upon Benonis property. So therefore, even if Reuven subsequently sells off the Idis property, and you want to tell that now the Benonis becomes his Idis, Lamaisa, at the end of the day, the lien is the lien is the lien, and it still applies against the same parcel of land. Look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says, Umachra, la'achar halva. Reuven sold off his land after the loan. Dishtamdele Benonis Labachov Mekaraba Ochai say this piado. Because at that moment, remember, the Benonis was still encumbered ultimately to the creditor while he still had possession of it, says the Gemara. V'chein Amarav Chista. Chista Tan is the same idea. Kagon Shaisalo Idis Umachra. That is talking about a case where at the time of the loan, the borrower had Idis, Benonis, and Zibur, subsequently sold off his Idis, but the lien still holds against the Benonis. Hakanai Mistabra, this seems to be clear. Mediktani Achrisi, Benonis, Viziburis. Since we mentioned the secondary case as well, that if he had Benonis, meaning we learned to another Braisa, Benonis for Ziburis, that if he only had Benonis and Ziburis, Nezikin Bebenonis, Balchov Ksuvas Yisha Beziburis. So we'll say, here's the problem. Another Braisa. What does the Braisa say? That if Reuven only has Benonis and Ziburis, he pays off Nezikin from Benonis and Balchov and Ksuvas Yisha from Ziburis. Kashin Ahadadi. We'll say, have a contradiction, because what did the first Braisa say? The first Braisa said that if you have Benonis and Ziburis, so you pay back what? You pay back Nezikin and Balchov from Benonis and Ksuvas Yisha from Ziburis. The second Braisa says that if you have Benonis and Ziburis, you pay back Nezikin from Benonis and Ksuvas Yisha and Balchov from Ziburis. So which one is it? To which the Gemara says, Elalav Shmamina, Kan Shahaisalo Idis Umachra, Kan Shalo Haisalo Idis Umachra. Arabo said, the case must be where what? Everything depends on what you had at the time of the loan. If indeed Reuven had Idis, Benonis, and Ziburis at the time that he borrowed money from the creditor, then the Maisa, his Benonis property has Alina, is encumbered to the debt. Which then means even if he subsequently sells off the Idis property, and you want to tell then that the Benonis then moves up a level to become the Idis, the lien is still there. Masha'enkein, if he didn't have the Idis property at the time that he borrowed the money, then Lemaisa, again, that which he called Benonis is in fact Idis, and therefore again, the Zikin would collect from that, but the Balchov would only collect from the lowest level property from the Ziburis. Vibayisema, second possibility. So Moshe said, understand now, what we're trying to resolve is you have a contradiction between two Braisos. That's really what we're facing over here. Two different Braisos. In Braisa number one, what we're saying is that where there's Benonis and Ziboris, so in Braisa number one, we're saying that Nezikin and Balchov, damages and creditor, collect from Benonis, and Ksuvas Isha collects from Ziboris. In Braisa number two, what we were saying was what? Was that Balchov, Nezikin collects from Benonis, but Baal Chov and Ksuvas Isha collect from Ziboris. So we've established one way to answer up that contradiction. The Gemara is not going to give a second answer. It could be that both Brisos are talking about a situation where he never had Idis, meaning he didn't have Idis at the time the loan was made. And what's going on over here? It's possible the second Brisa is talking about a situation where my Benonis is the equivalent of what society holds to be Idis. And therefore again, the Nezikin damages will be paid from the Benonis / Idis property, and everything else comes from the Ziboris property. The Khan and the first Brisa, Delo Shavya Benonis Shalok Idis Da'alma, and the first Brisa is talking about a case where my Benonis is not like the Idis of the world. Rather, my Benonis is simply like Benonis. If that's the case, then the Balchov, then the Nezikin and the Balchov will both collect ultimately again from the Benonis. V by same. Another possibility is the other possibility is what? Is that Lamaisa, my Benonis is like the general Benonis of the world. Here's what they argue about. Mar Savar Bishalohin Shamin, Umar Savar Bishal Olamin Shamin. Oh, Rabbi says, now we're coming full circle. So the Gemara now suggests that maybe the fundamental machlokis over here is what? Is how we evaluate property. Do we evaluate property subjectively? Subjectively or societally? You know, it's interesting because you understand there's really no such thing as objective valuation for real estate, because real estate is always going to be some level of subjectivity. So it's really a shayla of, do I evaluate it subjectively in accordance with my holdings or societally? So the Gemara says, Mar Savar B'Shalohin Shamin. So one opinion says that we go ahead and we evaluate the property, or evaluate the gradations of property based on his personal holdings. And the other opinion says, no, we evaluate it based on the world. Ravina Amar B'du Ula K'pligi. Ravina, on the other hand, said, fundamental machlokes is regarding the sheet of Ula. What does Ula say? Da Amar Ula, Dvar Torah, Rashi made reference to this before. Dvar Torah, Balchov B'ziboris. Because Ula is the opinion, says what Rabbah said, that Midaraisa, a Balchov, a creditor, only collects from Ziboris. Now, where does Ula, inferior property, now where does Ula get this from? Shneemar, Bachutz Ta'amot, Va'ish Asher Ata Noshebo, Yotzi Elecha Esa Avot Achutza. So we'll say a beautifully sensitive halacha from the Torah, where the Torah says that if you lend someone money, and you are coming ultimately to seize collateral, the halacha is you cannot enter into the home of the borrower to take collateral. Rather, you have to wait outside, and he will bring you the object of collateral. So says the Gemara, Madako shel adam lahotzi lachutz. Now, presumably, what is this person going to give you? So you must say, if you go into someone's house, so the chap is what? You could see what they have. So if you see what they have, you could be a little bit more demanding with the collateral. But if you're standing outside, then Lamaisa, again, they're going to bring you what they want. So with Pashas, what are they going to bring you? They're going to bring you the most inferior of their stuff. So Umatam, so what do you see from here? You see from here that Lamaisa, the entitlement of a Balchov, is only for Ziboris, is only for inferior type items. So Umatam Amru Balchov Beinonis. So if that's the case, why did the rabbi say that a Balchov has the right to collect Beinonis? In order not to close the door in front of potential lenders. So what does the Gemara suggest? Mar isli takanta de ula, umar lesi takanta de ula. Well, so it's actually quite fascinating. So the Gemara now is Ravina suggesting that lamais at the end of the day, the fundamental machlokas and the brisas could be explained in the following way. The first brisa that says, that when Reuven sells off his Idis and all is left with Benonis and Ziboris, so the first price is said that it's Nezikin damages and Balchov and creditor that get paid off from the Benonis and Ksuvasisha from the Ziboris. That price, so that opinion, subscribes to the opinion of Ula that says what? That midrabanan we pay off creditors from Benonis. So therefore, in this case, you give the creditor his fair share, which is Beinonis. The second Brisa says that what Rabosa, you pay Nezikin from the Beinonis, and you pay Balchov and Ksuvas Isha from Ziboris. The Gemara Ravina is suggesting that time, the time of that Brisa, does not hold like Ravina. And therefore, according to that Tana, There is no din d'rabbanan to pay the creditor from Beinonis. All there is what? Is the din d'oraisa to pay the creditor from what? From Ziboris. And that's why the Braisa says that the only thing that gets paid from Beinonis is nezikin, is damages. But Baruch Hu v'ksuvas isha get paid from Ziboris. Amazing. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. So I'll say, so just saying how we end off with that. So what I would tell you is that the major, so again, we end off with the machlokes, that we end off with the machlokes. The one thing that's important to know is the way we paskin is that when we value a property, bishalo, we decide categories of idis, benonis, and ziboris. Ultimately, again, that's a subjective valuation. So we look at a person's holdings, and the halacha will then group a person's holdings into three categories based on their own personal holdings. We also paskin, so that's number one, how we paskin. Number two is we paskin like ula, namely, again, that midah, although midah, or I say balchov, is only entitled to ziboris, the most inferior property, lowest level property. The Rabbanon gave him the right to collect from Beinonis, middle grade property, in order to encourage the Jewish loan market. Tana Rabbanon. So the Gemara says, Machar la'echad, ol v'shlosha b'nei Adam ke'echad. So listen to this, it's actually very interesting. So look at Rashi for just a moment. Machron la'echad, ol v'gimel b'nei Adam, b'yom echad. So we'll say same thing, but we'll keep with Reuven over here. So Reuven sells off all of his property to one person or to three people. And Rashi says over here, the keys are as Misha Haya Alav Nezikin Uksuvas Isho Balchov Fahayala Idis Benonis Ziboris. So we'll say, so watch this. So Reuven is our guy. So Reuven has Idis Benonis and Ziboris. He has all three types of his property. And he sells off all of his property again. We'll see either to one person or to three different people. And I will say, Reuven also happens to have upon him the following obligations. He owes money, so he has a balchov. He owes damages, nezikin, and he's also got divorced, so he's got to pay his wife's ksuba. These three obligations, and now he just sold off all of his property. Okay, so what's talacha? Kulon nichnas in tachas habaylim. Right? Bizachar zeh. So I'm sorry. Kulon nichnas in tachas habaylim. So what's this? What happens? So remember, there's a lien against all of these properties. So because there's a lien, remember again, technically speaking, Ezekin has a lien against Idis, so Balchov has a lien against Beinonis, and Ksuva has a lien against Ziboris. So when you purchase property that's encumbered, you assume the responsibilities, the encumbrances upon that property. So all of the purchasers, whether it's one person or all three, assume these responsibilities. However, listen to this. But if he went ahead and he sold the properties not at once, but one after the other, then this is interesting. Kulan govin mina acharon. Everyone, all of the people who hold the claim against Reuven, all of them collect from the last purchaser. Shabbos say makes sense. Because remember what happens over here. If I have property, and I owe multiple debts. So let's say I go ahead and I own three pieces of land, and I sell off the first two. My creditor comes to collect. And he says, hey, Silber, you used to own that really nice piece of land. What happened to it? So I say, I sold it. He says, well, that's the land I want to collect from my debt. I'm going to go seize it from the purchaser. You have no right to extract sold properties where there are unencumbered properties. That's what we call, again, you can't take from the chasim mishubadim, which means sold properties where there are nechasim benichorin, unencumbered free properties, meaning property is still owned by the debtor. So in this case, if you're able to say, watch this. So if Reuven sold off field one on Monday and field two on Tuesday and field three on Wednesday, so technically speaking, the creditors have to go after the last purchaser first. Because Lemaisa, again, that was the last piece of unencumbered land. So therefore, when they want to get repaid for their debt, they have to go after the last purchaser first. Oh, so the Gemara, Baksha Kivanta, so the Gemara says, Elo, if that's not sufficient, go with Mishalafanov. Then you go back. Elo, go with Mishalafanov, marry Mishalafneipanov. So we'll say, so again, if the last piece of land is insufficient, then you work your way back. But the idea is, you have to, the right of collection comes from the last purchaser. So because remember, we'll say, every earlier purchaser says, you have no right to come after me first, because when I bought the land from Reuven, Reuven still had sufficient assets to pay off all of his debts. So that's what the only one who can say that is who? Is the last purchaser, right? Because again, he's purchasing the last piece of land. So you start with him and you work your way back. So the Gemara says, Machron la'echad heichidam. So what's the case of where he's selling the land to one person? Ilema bebas achos. So I'll say, if Reuven's selling all three parcels of his land at once, so hashta, L'shlosha di'ikala meimar, chad minayo kodim. So Rabbi say, in the case where you sold it to three people, where Rabbi say, bepashtos, it's impossible to sell to three people simultaneously. Bepashtos, one of them must have been first, one is second, one is third. And yet in that case, amrat kula nichnesu tachas habaylim. Yet you assume Rabbi say, in that case, that all three of the purchasers take on the responsibility ultimately of Reuven towards his creditors. So machran la'echad miboy, then it goes without saying that if he sold all three properties to one person, then what? He takes on the lien responsibilities as well. Ela pshita, Rabbi say, by the way, just so you should know, this is still true today. Just the difference today is we have the ability to conduct a thorough title search relatively easily. This is what it means. Whenever you buy property, you always want to make sure that there are no encumbrances. I give you free legal advice also. This is like one-stop shop. I had to get everything. So this is the idea over here. So the Gemara says, when you're going ahead and you're selling the property now, so ultimately, again, when you sell it to one person, of course he assumes the liens against it as well. To el pshita, rather, must be when you're selling it to one person, you're not selling him all three pieces of property at once. Rather, what? You're selling them consecutively. So also, here's what's interesting. When you sell to three people consecutively, so you could only go after the last purchaser first. That's what's interesting. When you sell to three people consecutively, you have to go after purchaser three. Then if he doesn't have enough, purchaser two. And then purchaser one. Yet, when you sell all three to one person, now again, the logic behind there is because when purchaser one bought his property, what could he say? He said, look, so what does he say to the creditors? I left you two other fields to collect your debt from. And purchaser two says, I left you another field to collect your debt from. It's only purchaser three who has nothing to say. So the Gemara says, Hai Nami, akol chad v'chad leimalei, hinachti l'cha. So even if one person purchases everything and he's purchasing them consecutively, let me clarify this a little bit. With the way the price was set up is that if the purchaser purchased Idis, Benonis, and Ziboris, and then what happens? And then let me say it like this. Okay, let's take a step back. We might have to start at 5:45 tomorrow morning. So listen to this case, because we don't want to rush through this. So when Reuven sells three pieces of land to three different people, Idis, Benonis, and Ziboris, and he sells them consecutively, one, two, and three. So what did the Braisa tell me? The Braisa told me that the creditors have to go after who? Right? The last one. Why? Because when the first two purchased their properties, they could say, listen, we left you creditor places to collect from. We left you land to collect from. So therefore, again, there's no reason for you to come after us. So says the Gemara, and therefore, what's the novelty in that? Now let's play this out. Let's say the last guy, purchaser number three, only bought Ziboris. He bought Ziboris. So that means that what? That when, let's say, the Nezikin, right, the guy coming to collect damages, comes to collect his damages. Supposing normally for Nezikin, you're entitled to collect from what? Idis. But in this case, you'll only be able to collect from what? From Ziboris, because that was the last purchase. That's what he has. So meaning, he's going to suffer a loss, quote unquote. I mean, he'll get the value. But Lamaisi won't get what he's entitled to. So yet, the Braisa said that if Reuven sold all of his property to another purchaser, even though the other purchaser is buying them consecutively, when the Baal Nezikin shows up to go ahead and collect his damages, he has the right to collect from what? From Idis. But says Zimmer, why is that so? Why can't the singular purchaser also go ahead and say, listen, I bought the fields consecutively. When I bought the Idis, there were still Benonis and Ziboris. When I bought this Benonis, there were still Ziboris. Fine. So what are you entitled to collect from? You're entitled to collect from the Ziboris from the last item I purchased, but you're not entitled to collect my Idis. To which the Gemara says, Hacham I ask, you know what's the case? Kigon shalakach Idis v'achrona. Oh! So we've been assuming right now that the way these real estate transactions worked is that Reuven selling off his Idis, then his Benonis, then Ziboris. To which the Gemara now answers, no, the case is where the purchaser is buying the Idis first, the Idis last. Therefore, Rabbi said, yes, the purchaser can say to the creditors, you can only collect from the last item I purchased, but it happens to be the last time I purchased is Idis. So watch this. So the Gemara says, V'chein Amar Rav Sheshit, it's going Shilakak Idis Bachrona. Ihaki, if that's the case, Leisu Kulu V'ligvumi Idis. If that's the case, so I'll say, then what? Watch this. Then if that's the case, then all of the creditors should be able to collect from Idis. Then I both say, not only the Nezikin guy, but who else? The Balchov and the Ksuvas Isha, because they're all going to say, listen, we only have the right to go after the last item purchased. Great! The last item purchased is Idis. Let's all collect from Idis. Oh, to which the Gemara says, the Amar Lahu, because they'll say, watch this, because the purchaser says to the creditors, Isha sakisu vishaklisu kidinaihu. If you shut up and you collect in accordance with what you're entitled to, shaklisu, then fine, I'll pay you back. In other words, what the creditor says is, listen, Isha, you're going to collect from your Ziboris, and if you don't collect from your Ziboris, here's what's going to happen. Balchov, you're going to collect from your Bananis, and if you don't want to collect from your Bananis, here's what's going to happen. You know what I'll do? Vilo, Mahadrana Shtara de Ziboris, Limare, Vishaklisu Kulchum Ziboris. Because if not, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to return the Ziboris land back to Ruvain, and guess what? You're all going to be stuck collecting from Ziboris. So Rabbi says, here's what's fascinating. So what the Gemara says over here is like this. This is really amazing. So what the purchaser has the ability to say is like this. Look, the last piece of land I purchased was Idis. Therefore, technically speaking, all of you should have the right to collect from where? From where? From Idis. Because that's the halacha, Rabbi says. When you purchase multiple pieces of encumbered property, so the creditors only have the right to go after the last piece of property bought. So therefore, what happens? So the Isha is very excited because she's going to collect her tzuva from Idis. And the Balcho is very excited because he's going to collect his debt from Idis. The Nezikin guy already is entitled to collect from Idis. So they're all lining up for Idis. So ultimately, again, what happens? Then the birch says, no, I'm not paying you back with it. This Isha, here's your Ziboris. Balchov, here's your Benonis. And they claim, they're going to say, I'm taking the Bezdin. Take it amazing. You owe me from Idis, that's the last piece of land. He says, listen, here's the deal. You can take this, or what I'm going to do is, I'm going to go ahead and return the Ziboris land to the seller, to Ruvain, and you're all going to be stuck only, and then we'll say, once that happens, then what? Then Ruvain has a piece of unencumbered land. If Ruvain has a piece of unencumbered land, then what? Then all collections must be done from there. So he tells the Isha, now for the Isha, it doesn't really matter. She has nothing to lose anyway. She's going to get Ziboris. But for the Balchov, he has something to lose because ultimately, if Ruvain gets back Ziboris land, the Balchov will have to take collection from Ziboris versus now the purchaser is offering him the opportunity to collect from Benonis. Iyachi, if that's the case, Benizikin Nami Neimahachi. If that's the case, then Lemaisa again, why doesn't he make the same deal with Nezikin? So let's say, again, the purchaser can handle with the Nezikin, with the damager, we'll call him the damaged individual as well. Why? Because he can say, listen, here's the deal. Yeah, I know you're entitled to Idis, but I'm going to only offer you Benonis, and if you don't like it, I'm going to return a piece of Ziboris land to Reuven, and you'll have to collect from Ziboris, to which the Gemara says, what's the case? The Yasmi. Oh, the case over here is dealing with orphans. Of orphans, ultimately, again, who inherited their father's property, and their father died with all of these outstanding debts. The father owes a balchov, the father owes a wife for a ksuva, and the father ultimately, again, owes for nezikin as well. The love b'nei pironin, and Rabbi said, you know, yisomim are never personally liable to pay back for their father's debts. Now, the estate may be liable, meaning there's encumbrances against land, against property, but the yisomim themselves are never personally liable. Vishibuda delay, and the shibud ultimately, again, of the father, meaning the responsibilities the father had, ultimately, again, alei didei ramya, are ultimately, again, upon the lekucho. So we'll say, in this case over here, this is where the father died, and ultimately, again, he sold off property. The responsibilities of the father are upon the purchasers. Hilchach, leka l'neimar hachi. So we'll say, therefore, in this kind of case, with our yisomim, the purchaser, bless you, the purchaser doesn't have the ability to taina, I'm going to return Ziboris property to the original seller. Why? Because he's dead. So it says the Gemara, Elam Yishum Do Amar La, Taima mai Amar Rabbanan in the from Minchasim Mishubadin b'Makom Sheishvenei Chorin Mishum Takanta Didi. So we'll say, so watch this. So remember, under normal circumstances, so what could the purchaser say? He could say, listen, the reason why the rabbi said that if there's unencumbered properties, which means properties owned by the original borrower or debtor, that you can't go after sold properties. So the reason the rabbi said this was Mishum Takanta Didi. So the purchaser says, the rabbi's enacted that for my purpose, Ana Bahata Kantalo Nechali. But the purchaser could say, it's okay, I don't need that particular takana. Jose, take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ana Bahai Takantalo Nechali, Shakilu Kidinaihu. So we'll say, so listen to this. Essentially, what the purchaser is saying is like this: I waive my rights to the rabbinic enactment. The rabbinic enactment says that ultimately, again, where there is unencumbered property, so debtors have to collect from that. They can't collect from sold properties. And therefore, using that logic, so creditors can only collect from the last piece of property sold. Says the purchaser, the rabbis enacted that idea or that concept, that gzeira, for me. I am choosing to waive that enactment. And therefore, again, I'm giving you all the options that you could, because remember, this is a case of where the last piece of land purchased is Idis. In this case, the purchaser doesn't want to pay out all of these debts from Idis. So what he's saying is, listen, I waive my rights to the rabbinic enactment. I'm going to pay all of you back because I bought encumbered property. But Isha, I'm going to pay you back from Ziboris. And Bachal, I'm going to pay you back from Benonis. And Ezekiel, I'll pay you back from Idis. Kedirava, the Amarava, Kala Omer Efshi Bitakanas Chachamim Kigonzu Shomer. Because we'll say Rava's of the opinion that whenever the rabbis enacted legislation for my benefit, I have the right to waive that legislation. I have the right to say thank you, but no thank you. So Kigonzu, what's Kigonzu? So Marsamai Kigonzu Kidrafuna, Damrafuna, Yechola Isha Shetomar, Labaila, Eni Nizonas Veniosis. For we'll say, for example, the rabbis instituted that a husband gets a wife's earnings. Why does a husband get the wife's earnings? So that's a quid pro quo. The assumption is he is going ahead and supporting her. So because he's supporting her, he gets entitlement to her earnings. So what could she say about say? So let's say a woman makes a lot of money. She makes a lot of money. So she says to him, thank you, but no thank you. You keep your mizonos, right? But I'm going to keep my salary. So Rabbi's pointing out that wherever the rabbis instituted legislation for the benefit of the individual, so the individual has the right to waive that benefit and say, no, thank you. I'll just go with the regular halacha. Fine. So they probably say, so bottom line, when it comes down to in these cases, is that Lamaisa, again, even though technically speaking, all of the creditors should be able to go ahead and collect from that last piece of property, but nevertheless, the purchaser has the right to say, I'm choosing to waive that rabbinic enactment. I'll pay you each back because I bought encumbered property, but I'm going to pay you back each back in accordance with what you deserve, what you're entitled to. Seisha, you'll get Ziboris, Balchov, you'll get Benonis, and the Zikin, you'll get Edis. So Pshita, Machar Lokeach, Benonis, Ziboris, Vishayir, Edis, Lafanov. So listen to this. In this case over here, if you look at Rashi, Machar Lokeach is Shelokach Edis Bachrona, Benonis, Ziboris. Vishayir idis lefana. So we'll say the case over here is where what happened. So the lokeach, now in this case, so Reuven sold property to a buyer. We'll call him Shimon. Shimon now is reselling that property again. So Macher lokeach, so the original purchaser, we'll call him Shimon, is now selling to another party, Levi. And he sold Benonis v'Ziboris. He sold off Benonis and Ziboris v'Shir idis lefanov. And he left idis for himself, meaning he left himself idis. So what's the halacha? Leisu kulu v'ligvu mi'idis. So we'll say in this case over here, everyone comes and collects from Shimon. So also remember, so in this case over here, Reuven had idis, benonis, and ziboris. Reuven also had owed for damages. He owed for a balchov and owed for ksuvas isha. He sold off all the property to Reuven. Reuven now sells off all the property except the idis. When the creditors now come to collect, they're both saying, who do they go to first? They go to Reuven first, and they all collect from Reuven's idis. So the Gemara says, "Daha achronehi ubenonis viziburis las nugabe." Because again, remember, this was the last piece of land ultimately that Reuven purchased. It's also the last piece of land that he currently owns, and he has no other benonis viziburis property. The matzi lemeimar lehu gavu mizibenos viziburis. Because remember, Reuven has no other property to deflect them to. Dilo nechali bitkanta dirabanan avamachar idis. Vishir Benos Ziboris. But also listen to this. Let's say, however, Reuven sold off the Idis. He sold off the Idis to, Shimon sold off the Idis to Levi. And he left for himself Benonis and Ziboris. So what's Taloka? How do collections work in that case? So my Savra by the Meimar, Asu Kulu Gavame Idis, Sabai Pazir Rabosa. This is actually quite amazing. Sabai says all of them could go after the Idis. All of them go after the Sabosa. Now essentially what that says is they could all go after Levi, who is now the second purchaser. Rava, Amrli Rava, Ma Macharishon Lasheni calls the Chushet Tavol Yado. So we'll say when let's say the first purchaser sells to the second purchaser. So when Shimon sells to Levi, what did Shimon sell to Levi? And we'll say it's the same thing when Reuven sold to Shimon. What do they sell? So they sell all the associated rights and encumbrances that come with the property. The Chayvan the Ilu Asu Gabi Lokeach Rishon, had the creditors come to the first purchaser, to Shimon, Matzi Agvi Lehumi Beinos Heziburis, he has the right, as we said before, to what? To go ahead and tell them they have to collect from Beinonis and Ziboris. And that is true even if what? Even if the last piece of land that he purchased was Idis. V'afapi, Dechizabni Beinonis Heziburis, Akati Idis Pnei Chorin Havi, even though what? Even though at the time that he bought the Beinonis and Ziburis, ultimately the Idis was still with Nechasim Bnei Chorin. Ve'ein Yifraim Nechasim Meshubadim, calls Mandika Nechasim Bnei Chorin. And again, remember, you can't collect from unencumbered property where there is, you can't collect from encumbered property where there is unencumbered property. Matzi Amar Leilo Nechale Bahai Takanta. Remember again, so remember, this is just rehashing what we just said before. Even though Shimon, when he bought the properties, he bought Idis last, yet when the creditors come to him, although technically speaking, they should have a right to collect from Idis, he has the right to say, I don't want the Takana Dirabana, and I want to pay them back from Beinonis and Ziboris. Lokeach Sheninami. So Rabbo said the second purchaser as well. Meaning in this case again, this is going to be Levi, Matzi Amarle, Gabe Beinonis and Ziboris. You should go collect on Beinonis and Ziboris. Why? Techizabin Lokeach Sheni. Because ultimately again, when the secondary purchaser bought the property, Adaita Dechozuchusin Dehavile Lerishon Begaba Zabin. Ultimately again, he bought it ultimately with what? With all the rights of the first purchaser. We'll have to stop over here. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with Amar Rava. So we'll say, so just to understand where we're leaving off. Where are we leaving off? So the truth is, the cases get a little bit convoluted, but the principles are essentially the same. So what comes out, meaning what's the take home for our messages today, from our daf today? So first of all, I'll say, what we learned from this particular case is that Lamaisa, we've already known this before, that when you owe money to people and you sell property, so the liens against the property are transferred with the sale. The liens don't go away with the sale, the liens are transferred to the sale. We also learned about Lamaisa that when you buy multiple properties from a person, so the last property bought is the first for collection. Right, it's like LIFO. Right, it's last in, first out. Meaning, right, the last property you bought is the first property, ultimately, again, that creditors have the right to go ahead and collect from. However, the novelty we saw, Bo says, that what? Is that the purchaser, now that itself is a takana derabanan, that the last property bought is the first property that creditors could go after. If, however, again, the purchaser does not want that, because let's say, as we saw in this case over here, the last property bought happens to be the most superior of the properties, so the purchaser does have the right to waive that rabbinic enactment and tell the creditors, I want you to collect in accordance with what you are entitled to, not from Idis, but from Beinonis and Ziboris. And if they give him a hard time, he could always what? He could always threaten. What's the ultimate threat? I'm going to give back the seller a piece of Ziboris land, and then all of you could go take this up with him. So but again, we've seen now that's current with Rava, that whenever the rabbis enacted something for your benefit, so Lemaisa, again, you have the right to refuse it. Now, what we're leaving off with, and with this part we'll stop, now we're leaving off with this, we'll say the more complicated case is where Shimon, the buyer, who bought it from Reuven, the creditor, now sells it to Levi. Now we're going to see again, what are the rights and obligations of Levi vis-a-vis Reuven's creditors? Your decision to be continued tomorrow. Wow. Yeah, we'll be all right.